Congratulations on your purchase of a 360.
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio.
I'm C4.
And I'm
Koba. I played so much of that game.
It was nuts.
If it's got EA on it, I'm not going to buy it.
Headshot.
Hey, I don't even know what day it is.
Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio.
I've listened to the show for this long. They know this, and I don't give a fuck.
Ludicrous kill.
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 131. I'm C4.
And I'm Kobar.
The website is hwhq.com. You can email us at c4.gameradio@gmail.com and join us on IRC at irc.oftc.net. The channel is Gamer. Speaking of our email, we have some kick-ass emails this week. Mm-hmm. We really have some good stuff here. There's, I think, three of them here. And I can't wait to talk about them. But first, this is like the zombie show. I think we have a combined total of about 8 hours of sleep. You ever seen The 70s Show when Eric's stoned and he's talking to his parents and the wall's moving behind him?
Yeah.
That's kind of like what's happening right now. This is not okay. But we can sum the show up pretty quickly for you so we can get all the crap out of the way. I played Geometry Wars and Kobar here watched a lot of Star Trek. And that should do it. We got an email, and then we're out. All right, our first email is from Kizzle. Now, he's talking about the 360 downloading explanation, because remember I said how they downloaded hella fast? Mm-hmm. The game seemed like they just ripped down somehow. Xbox Live probably displays the file size of a demo or whatever as how big it will be after decompression. So a 1 gig demo might only be a 500 meg download. I'm still listening, but I'm loving this original way to review a console. I even have a new Prison Break sitting on my hard drive that needs watching, and I'm choosing to listen to you guys. Yes! We're beating, like, the best show on TV right now, next to House, of course. That is awesome, and yes, Prison Break is back on the air, and so is House.
House is good stuff.
House is awesome. Well, I didn't even go through today, did I? Today is September 10th, 2006. Neosizer, this is regarding keyboard and mouse controls in console games. You guys are 100% correct.
Thank you very much. Going on to the next email.
The next one, that's all anybody needs to say. You guys are 100% correct. No first-person shooter or any other game that uses a mouse for that matter has any excuse to not include a keyboard and mouse setup on a console. Dirge of Cerebrus for the PS2 has full functionality. It wasn't without its problems, however. I wasn't able to bind crouch to control. The biggest problem had to be the sensitivity. I had it up to the max, and it still took forever to turn myself around. It seemed no matter how fast I moved, the screen moved at a fixed rate, so moving the mouse quickly or slowly seemed to make no difference. But even with these half-assed, improvised attempts at mouse and keyboard controls made the game that much more enjoyable because I was actually hitting things in a console game with decent accuracy for once. May not be the best, but it's certainly a start. Now if they could just do this for the Xbox 360 games, I'm sure the leaderboards would be taken over by mouse keyboard players overnight and people will forever be getting kicked out of, insert current popular Xbox Live game here, for cheating with aimbots. Then again, maybe they aren't doing it with the 360 games because they don't want to exclude those gamers with controllers who want to sit on a nice comfy sofa because they haven't been enlightened to the command chair setup. Us compy gamers know and love.
Well, and I think there is something to be said about that. I mean, you start pitting people...
I do, too. He said at the beginning, you guys are 100% correct. Enough said.
But, like, if you start pitting people using controller and keyboard and mouse at the same time, keyboard and mouse people are going to fucking...
They're going to get smoked because, like, I have tried playing Perfect Dark Zero. I got that the other day. And the first thing I did was I thought, well, maybe my problem with it is just that it's not, like, spinning around super fast. So I crank them all the way up, like, to 100% of speed or whatever. Uh-uh. You still feel like you're playing, like, Quake 2 in slow motion or something on, like, a 286. It's so slow, these fucking console games.
Although, we do know that once Vista comes out and Microsoft Live or Windows Live comes out, they will be playing PC and 360 games in the same room.
Right? So
that's not really a valid argument because it'll already happen.
That'd be pretty interesting. Yeah, I'm not so sure what to think about that. However, I would like to play on the console with the keyboard and mouse.
Yeah.
You know, PC be damned. That's great and all, but what if you don't have the game for the computer? What if it's more expensive for whatever reason? What if you don't want to get it? What if you don't want Windows? Mm-hmm. You know? So you got your console. Get your gaming on there, but you want to use a keyboard and mouse. And I have, like, the world's perfect setup, I think, to use a keyboard and mouse. I'm sitting now in front of the damn computer with an Xbox in front of it, a 360. I could easily just plug it right into the front there and whip some console
even use controller a guy switch ass. So you can...
Yeah, that'd be great. I can't get over it. I do not think that there is... It's not a better control system. I don't care what people think. I've tried it myself. It doesn't work. They feel like they're on slow-mo. Sit there on Xbox Live and join Perfect Dark Zero, then go play Quake 3. You get your ass beat. You know why? Because it's fast and it like flows and you have all kinds of control.
Yeah.
It's just not the same. It doesn't even compete, you know. And oh, but it'll add a little bit of strategy to it, to where you have to aim and how you have to walk and to hell with that. Why would I want to do all that when I can actually aim?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the alternative is actually aiming or trying to give the proper lead and tilting your this is a big one with these console guys, is you tilt your reticle up so it's always a headshot and walk around so you're always kind of looking upwards so that, mm-hmm. that when you run across a guy you can basically just spray and you're generally going to get a headshot. Well, why? Why don't I just, I don't know, aim instead?
Yeah.
It doesn't work the same for me. They need to speed the games up or something. Give us our mouse and keyboard controls. We will be happy gamers. The damn things are almost computers as it is, you know?
Oh, yeah, with USB connectors.
Yeah, I know. How difficult would this be? You know, I don't know. I'm all for it. I really think that the controllers can suck my ass. The next email is from Cushion, who we haven't heard from in quite some time. This is a couple of topics for the show. Is the topic? Hey, guys. I heard your massive email show a couple episodes ago, and I knew it was time for me to add my own two cents on some current issues. Don't worry. It's only like a cent and a half. First of all, I have a bit of a rhetorical question. We all know the lineups for the current-gen systems are drying up, and the PSP never has any games anyway except for the recent Tekken. But what happened to the Nintendo DS? It seems like since New Super Mario Bros. And Big Brain Academy, the system's got nothing going. Nintendo's website shows them gearing up for Tenchu, a dead franchise, and that ever-present Pokemon, but we all know about Final Fantasy III. But what's next? Now, I got good news for you, Cushion. Stay tuned. We've got it covered. Also, damn you, C4, for making me want to go out and get an Xbox 360. The worst part is, if anyone remembers one of my emails from a very early episode, my new system rule is if you can name 5 games you would buy for that system, buy it. Well, after your 360 episode, I checked out Xbox.com's 360 list and came up with, including Xbox Live Arcade games, about 6 games I'd buy and 6 games I want to at least play the demo of. But for me, the big kicker is still the price tag. Try explaining playing 360 over paying the bills and buying groceries to Mrs. Cushion sometime, and you'll see what I mean. Maybe it's time to put on my wife beater and get her done hat and throw it in the Walmart layaway. Anyway, here's a tip I thought I would share after visiting the Xbox website. If you're waiting, like me, and are afraid someone's going to take your Xbox Live handle in the meantime, you can register your info on the website and have that handle waiting for you when you do get a 360. Call me a noob for just discovering this, but I thought it was worth mentioning for people who just casually want a 360 and haven't done much homework. And finally, let me clear up some confusion people have regarding internet audio shows and podcasts, just based on some recent findings from shows I've downloaded. Two of the more popular podcasts, no need to name names, clocked in at 88 minutes and 118 minutes and weighed in at 80 megs and 81 megabytes, respectively. The Latest Gamer and BinRev clocked in at 93 minutes each and weighed in at only 16 megs each. All 4 shows sound basically the same through my headphones. The moral of the story, today's podcasts are the reasons you need 60 gig iPods and faster downloads. People just going crazy and throwing any size files around. While I have no personal bandwidth or memory issues, remember guys, it's an audio file, not a BitTorrent TV show. Get some damn compression software. There's a big difference between the house that Dual Parallel built for the love of interest and the house that Adam Curry built for attention. Fuck podcasts. As always, keep up the good work and keep making internet audio shows, Cushion. P.S. The fuck podcast doesn't apply to lag radio. The MP3s are fairly small, and it's a great listen even if you don't give two shits about MMOs like me. Now, there was a couple things that we needed to go back on over here. Let's see, we talked about the Nintendo DS, the Xbox 360 stuff. That's really cool. I had no idea you could, like, reserve your gamer tag.
Yeah, I didn't either.
That's a really neat thing. And Cushion, you're not a noob because I didn't know this thing had a VGA cable. I didn't know all kinds of stuff about it until somebody actually sat down and told me. And then I was shocked to learn, like, dude, Microsoft covered all the bases. They thought of just about every goddamn thing that I could imagine that I'd put into a damn console. it's pretty cool. Like, and I've been thoroughly impressed and haven't got anything done in the last 2 weeks at all. And as far as your five game rule, I totally remember that. And I'm sitting here staring at 6 games now that I own for it. There's still like 3 or 4 that I want to get for it that are actually out right now. Plus I've already bought 6 arcade games. You know, now Pac-Man may not count. That was kind of like I'd like to play a little bit of Pac-Man and not get cut off after 2 levels. But shit like Geometry Wars, I have logged more hours on Geometry Wars than I bet you every other game combined by now.
It's really good.
It's really addicting, too. And I can't seem to even crack 1 million points. I'm close. 950,000. That was a lucky run, though. But that game is just sex. Like, you have to buy it. That's the one game that you have to own. News and stuff. I have no idea how this is actually supposed to be pronounced. My guess is Halogen. It's right. Either that or Halogen, but I think it's Halogen because it's a mod for Command & Conquer Generals that tries to turn all the units and stuff into Halo units. The website is halogen.slipstreamproductions.net. But it does you no good now because Microsoft shut them down. This has been in development for, on the front of the site, here's the note. Dear friends, for the last 3 years, we've worked incessantly to bring you the best Halo mod that we could. And no, he's 3 years Microsoft let this go.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of ups and downs, but somehow Halogen has always managed to come out kicking. The problem with using copyrighted intellectual property as a base for a fan project is that you're very susceptible to legal action. We always figured that since Halogen was such a different take on the Halo franchise, we might manage to make it without incident. That changed today. Hours ago, we finally received the words we've been dreading since the mod started to get noticed. Microsoft has decided that we are infringing on the intellectual property of Bungie Studios and has asked us to stop development on Halogen. I was going to write a big sappy letter here, but what's the point? So that's it then, I guess. The forum site, the mod database profile will all be shut down within the week. I can't say it hasn't been fun. It's a shame it has to end like this, but I suppose that's how it goes. Thanks, guys, for all the time you spent supporting us. It's been a pleasure. We hate this as much as you do. From the Halogen team. That's sad.
And it just pisses me off. Because there's no reason. This is really the dark side of copyright law. Because Microsoft is losing absolutely nothing.
They're gaining, though. They have a fuck of a good idea to steal now.
Yeah. Plus, it's good popularity.
Yep.
There's absolutely no reason for this other than, oh my god, that's mine, don't take it.
Yeah. They're not making any money, they're not selling it. I mean, they're not hurting anybody here.
Yeah.
And
no one's playing this instead of Halo.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's a hell of a lot of people playing this in addition to people that purchased Halo. You know, I don't know.
No purpose behind it whatsoever.
Just to be douchebags. In good news, though, I guess. Anybody remember the game Savage, a PC game that was like, it was a first-person shooter, and you were a unit in an RTS, right? So picture Warcraft, World Warcraft, okay, yeah, every player there is a unit. He's a first-person playing unit, except for you have a commander who sees the game like an RTS game, and tells you where to go and build structures and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. I had quite a bit of fun playing it. It's an older game now. At the time, I don't know, it was a blast. I imagine there's still a group of people out there that play it. But the game is now free. So, and you can get that. FileCloud is actually where I happen to come across this, and I tinyurled it. It's tinyurl.com/F as in Frank, 4B as in Bravo, Y as in Yankee, and the number 8. It's actually a pretty cool game. Now that it's free, you know, hey, if you missed it before, you might want to go check it out now. I'm sure it runs fantastic on today's computers because it's an oldie. It's been around for quite some time. Not super old, but pretty old. And I had a lot of fun with it. Other things in the news world. Ubisoft is making a steering wheel for the Nintendo Wii. I got the story from DSRevolution.com. The prototype, they have a picture of it up there. It's basically a wireless... Now, picture a steering wheel that's like... That's it. It's just like the wheel. Like, if you just pulled it straight off your car.
Right.
There's no base that it, like, sits in. There's no nothing. And it's almost kind of, like, hollow. Mm. Like, it's like a plastic, like, circle.
Ring.
Right, yeah. That's essentially it. And in the middle, there's a slot where you can... your Wiimote clips into it.
Hmm.
And that becomes a steering wheel, which is kind of cool.
It's an interesting idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's pretty cool. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing all the different, like, shells that you can put this thing into.
Yeah, so it's basically not even an actual piece of electronics. It's just some plastic.
I guess. From everything that it looks so far, it looks like it's just plastic.
Well, it changes the way you hold it, though.
Because I would hate to hold the corners of that damn thing and risk accidentally pushing buttons and crap. Yeah. They're probably trying to make it easy to press some buttons, though, because I imagine you're going to need to have, you know, nitros or boost or pause or whatever from here and there. But it's just a prototype, but it's kind of neat to see. Because that's like, you know, we know there's going to be like a light gun and all kinds of cool stuff. A Nintendo 64 style controller. Mm-hmm. We haven't really seen like real any kind of we saw a few like mock-ups, I think, of stuff like that. I just like looking at it. It's neat because, you know, people are excited.
I just hope these things aren't too expensive.
Yeah.
Would nothing suck to have a bunch of $30 controllers.
Pieces of plastic, yeah.
Speaking of the Wiimote, I stumbled across an explanation of the RAM inside it. According to this story, it's for controller like setting profile for one game, and it gets overwritten if you play it.
Snake, and the show died. I don't know what happened. We were recording. Everything seemed to be okay. We made it all the way through the show. Sounded like a great show. We wrapped everything up. Woke up the next morning, went to go edit the show, and somehow only had 15 minutes of stuff. So I apologize. There's nothing else there. Koborg is unavailable today. He has work today, and I can't pull anybody else together to finish up the show for us, but I do still have the notes and everything from exactly what we went over yesterday, and I suppose it's possible that you're stuck with me for the rest of the show. So get ready for the worst hour and 10 minutes of your life. I believe the last thing that Koborg was talking about was the memory that was in the Wii controller. That very small amount of memory. He was reading somewhere in an article that said something about it being used for your controller profiles per game, and then it gets wiped out when you load up another game. Probably some kind of a bandwidth issue there, or better that it's on the controller so the Wii doesn't have to send out extra information every so often, or however that possibly works. The only part of the show that we lost was the part that was talking about all the games using the notes from Rybo. Rybo's super happy, terrific fall preview. And what we did was we went ahead and kind of cherry-picked through some of the notes a little bit here and got rid of some of the games that we didn't think were actually even worth mentioning. Kind of like a good example would be Desperate Housewives. Not a game that I exactly want to talk about on the show. I don't think... In fact, I can probably safely say not one person that listens to the show is going to be picking up that game. However, there is a pretty fat list of games that are coming out between now and the end of the year. For the Nintendo DS, we're going to go ahead and do that first, so cushion, listen up. There is still a pile of games coming out for this thing that are fantastic. Even one that a lot of people missed right off the bat. Star Fox Command came out right now. That kind of crept up on me. I wasn't so sure what to think about it. I'm still not so sure, as a matter of fact. It's a strategy action game. I guess you have a map, a lot like think of any kind of turn-based strategy game that you've played before, where there's points on the map to defend and whatnot, and enemies to attack, and you can kind of move your squadron around the map out in space there, Star Fox and his crew, and position your ships in strategic areas to defend certain points, and when you actually engage the enemy and go to fight, it switches to the action-style Star Fox that we all know and love, the good old Star Fox action shooter when you're when you've encountered an enemy, which is pretty cool. I like the idea, and I think that that'd be really cool for some other games to do also. I imagine you get to use the stylus when you're walking around the map and positioning your, not walking, but flying around the map and positioning your squadron. I'm not quite sure how the game plays as far as the action shooter part of it, though. So I'm dying to get my hands on it. I just would like to hear some more feedback on it first from a couple of people. It even features multiplayer deathmatch, and I imagine this is some kind of like a dogfighting thing, I imagine. And for all I know, it could be an entire strategy game on that, too, where it's a turn-based and you get to move your squadrons around. That could be very, very fun. And hopefully those people that are a little bit tired of Advance Wars Dual Strike might get their fix with Star Fox Command available now. Another great DS game coming out is kind of a weird one. I'm not so sure what to think about this just yet. Of course, I haven't gotten my hands on it. This comes out September 12th, which is tomorrow. So hopefully this will be on shelves. It's called Cooking Mama. I've actually heard a lot about this just because it's so bizarre. Kind of like Trauma Center, except for not a doctor. You're like cooking and stuff, with the mama character looking over you, making sure that you're doing everything right. You get to use the stylus to basically do all your cooking, chop, stir, grate, slice, peel, etc., whatever you have to do to the food. And there's over 70 real-world recipes in this game, so that's pretty neat. You can probably learn how to cook some pretty cool things you didn't know before, and they make it fun. because I'm sure sitting down reading a cooking book is not what most of us want to do with our time. But playing a game, suddenly it becomes kind of cool and something that you actually do and something you might actually learn something from. Comes out September 12th, looking forward to that. Also, for the Nintendo DS, is Mega Man ZX. Comes out on the same day, in a day from now, I guess. Based on the Mega Man Zero Game Boy Advance series of games, you get to play as two different characters, Z or X. And, well, you know, it's Mega Man, so you get to fight robot bosses. Imagine that. Not quite sure what else to say. I imagine they're going to have some pretty cool levels and whatnot. Never been a big Mega Man fan myself. I know Kobar. I remember in the original take one of this episode, he mentioned Cutman, seeing him the third or fourth time, and he just kind of got sick of the series. I kind of gave up after Mega Man 3 back on the Nintendo. I don't know, it didn't have it for me. I don't like the way he operates. He doesn't seem to jump right. It just doesn't seem like my kind of game, but the huge fan base for this game, Rockman ZX, I imagine, over in Japan. Lots and lots of Mega Man fans can rejoice over this. And, you know, what's funny, when we were doing this, we did it every other person did. You know, Kobar would do one, then I'd do one, then so on and so forth. And he seemed to get stuck with all the ones that I wasn't too happy with anyway. It was fantastic, because he got Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Blue Rescue Team, September 18th, 2006. Based on the Mystery Dungeon series, I guess this is a whole subset of Pokemon stuff, you get to play as a human turned into a Pokemon, and to determine which Pokemon you are, you have to do a series of quests, which is actually kind of cool, especially, I imagine, if you're into the Pokemon series. You get to go through a whole bunch of quests, and I imagine it determines exactly your play style and exactly what Pokemon you best fit. Which would be kind of neat, because you could, you know, forcefully choose some different paths and whatnot, and things that you normally wouldn't do, and play it all over again as a completely different Pokemon. But you can join up with other ones, other little Pokemon, like get your little party together and go ahead and do a bunch of missions. It also has randomly generated dungeon maps, which I guess a lot of the other ones didn't have, which would be pretty cool, great for replayability, especially if you're changing up the Pokemon that you get to play. Pokemon fans will not be disappointed. There's quite a few games on this list today that I'm looking at that say Pokemon this, Pokemon that. Mario vs. Donkey Kong 2, September 25th, the Nintendo DS. Kobar knew a lot about this more than I did. Apparently you have a bunch of little mini Marios. Ribo says it's like a lemming-style game. You have a bunch of little mini Marios who play on the screen, and they have to save Big Mario from Donkey Kong, doing a series of little puzzles and certain things on the screen. I remember him saying it's a lot like Donkey Kong. I've actually never played the original. Kobar had, so he knew a lot better than I do. But I do know it's a lot of fun, because I keep hearing people talk about it. Something I should probably look into myself. Magical Star Sign. This game sounded pretty cool. Comes out October 23rd for the DS. It's basically Magical Vacation DS. It's a turn-based RPG done in an anime style by the creators of Golden Sun. And I guess there's, let's see, students of the Will-O-Wisp Magic Academy, they've lost their teacher, she just disappeared, and the students decide to take over a handful of, like, rocket ships and fly off into space and rescue her, I guess, and of course they wind up on a crazy adventure going through outer space. Players are going to have to, of course, rescue the other students and the teacher, and just maybe possibly save the entire solar system, which is cool, because see, you're not just saving the world anymore. Or the princess. Now we've moved on to the solar system. Give it a couple years, I'm sure games will have you saving the damn universe anytime soon. This actually sounds pretty cool, though. Turn-based RPGs are good stuff. I wasn't a huge fan of the second Golden Sun, but I did manage to make it through the first one, and it was good. And if it's from the same people, I imagine they're going to have some somewhat similar gameplay elements, and the art wasn't all bad in that game at all. Things looked really good, so hopefully they put out a great title with Magical Star Sign on the 23rd of October. Scourge Hive, an action RPG. You play as some chick who's a bit like Samus, plus the chick from StarCraft Ghost, except for you've got red hair. Now, sadly, nobody's going to get to play StarCraft Ghost, so hopefully there's going to be other games that are like that, though. For those of us that like that style of game, could have a lot of fun with something like that. But this one's for the DS, called Scourge Hive. Plays a lot like Alien Syndrome, which is kind of a side-scrolling or isometric view shooter game, basically. It's actually a pretty cool game. And if it plays anything like that, it could be pretty neat, you know, running on the DS. You could do, I'm sure, all kinds of crazy stuff with the touchscreen and whatnot. And it's created by the people who made Racing Gears Advanced, which I've never played. It's apparently a Game Boy Advance game. It's kind of like RC Pro-Am for the Super NES, which would be pretty awesome, because RC Pro-Am kicked ass. And I haven't quite played anything just that good in since RC Pro-Am. So Racing Gears Advance could be a pretty cool game to pick up, too. But this game, Scourge Hive, is from them.
Children of Mana. This is a game I'm not so sure what to think about, coming out for the Nintendo DS on October 30th. Now, this game's already out in Japan, and from what I understand, I guess it came out March 22nd, there is multiplayer, so you can get together with your buddies and go wandering around stomping on enemies and little rabbits and whatnot. I imagine it has the same graphical style. I have seen a few screenshots of it, but they were very early, so I imagine they were of the Japanese version, just not translated yet, and they managed to have a nice, bright-looking, colorful style, which is, you know, like a lot of the Mana games. I imagine the AI has been improved over, say, Sword of Mana, which drove me insane because it was basically unplayable. The AI was so bad. There's no online multiplayer, though, so it will have to be local play only. And I guess they've changed up the combat a bit. I'm used to having with a Mana game, you know, maybe 8 different weapons and all kinds of different schools of magic and whatnot. I didn't see anything about the magic on this game, though. However, as far as the weapons go, it's known that you have, like, a sword, a bow and arrow, and a flail. Those are your 3 weapon types. Of course, you have the long-range bow, the short close-range sword, and I guess an in-between weapon flail, which you have, you know, a number of attacks with, standard attacks, special attacks, and some limit break type attacks, which, you know, I mean, is typical from Square. I'm looking forward to that. I really am. I've got to let it get some reviews first, I believe, because I'm really, really worried about their portable Mana games. I was burned. And I think I've talked about that on the show before with Sword of Mana, how basically it left me very, very disappointed. There's another Pokemon game coming up called Pokemon Ranger. It comes out October 30th. This is an action RPG. It's a prelude to Pokemon Diamond and Pokemon Pearl. Of course, if you have all 3 of these, I think you can hook them all to, I don't know if you hook them together or what, but somehow you can get unlock things. Maybe they'll give you a code or something during gameplay. And my understanding is this is more of, well, hell, I don't know. I don't play these Pokemon games, but I guess like a little like, plays like Zelda, maybe? So, hopefully Pokemon fans will get their fill when those 3 games are out. Final Fantasy III comes out November 1st. Now, this is an actual, real remake of a classic Final Fantasy game here. Final Fantasy III got the treatment, and this is what I think that these games really should have, unless you're going to put out... Okay, now Square is the worst at this. You look at companies like Capcom, and they have, like, the Capcom, you know, old-school collection packs, and you get, like, maybe, you know, 15, 10, 20, 30 games for a reasonable price. They're old games. They didn't do any work on them. They just, you know, maybe slapped them on a disc and sent them out and made their $30 or whatever. Square has this bad habit of maybe changing the graphics a little bit on a game and throwing in a cutscene or two that wasn't there before, and now you're paying $50 for a game that you paid $50 for 10 years ago. And they'll give you a game or two, if you're lucky, on one cart. This is Square being generous, of course. Final Fantasy III, however, for the Nintendo DS, gets an actual complete remake. This is why I'm incredibly excited about this. Now, if you haven't seen videos of this, you've got to go looking around. I have been swamped with videos, thanks Rybo, daily of new Final Fantasy III footage that shows the 3D polygonal characters fighting on the 3D enemies and everything. None of this 2D sprite crap. This got completely redone from the ground up. They've redone the dungeons and the world and everything to be almost exactly like it, you know, like as far as layout goes, just all nice and 3D, and it looks really good. It looks very impressive for being on a Nintendo DS. I'm really looking forward to that. I think this may be just a blind purchase, something I'm just going to have to pick up, although I'm a little bent about that because Square has taken money from me in the past for games I wasn't too happy with and cheap-ass compilations. Yoshi's Island 2, November 13th, platformer game. I imagine, you know, you've got Yoshi and you can shoot eggs and Baby Mario around or some crazy shit like that. I guess it's an actual proper sequel to Yoshi's Island that was on the Super Nintendo and it was a lot of fun for a lot of people, but I never actually played it myself very long anyway. Maybe about a half an hour's worth of play. It just wasn't my style. A pretty good game all in all, and people that have played it for more than a half an hour and are a lot more educated on it than I am absolutely adore this game. Apparently it's just the bee's knees, and I'm missing out on something, so maybe this is my second chance to go and get a little bit of that old school gameplay in from a 2D side-scrolling platformer game. Now, Castlevania Portrait of Ruin is up next. November 21st, that's coming out pretty soon, that's almost around the corner now. And I have yet to beat Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow. I've got the ghetto ending. Now I just need to go clean up some things and finish off some stuff to get a real ending on it and fool around with it a little bit more. Apparently this one goes back more to Castlevania roots. I imagine that means that there's a whole lot less of wander around the Hell Castle somewhere and kill a boss, get an item that you use to, like, basically unlock something somewhere else. It may as well just be the red key, the yellow key, the blue key, and the green key, except they give you cool little powers, which do allow them to spice it up a little bit, like being able to fly and whatnot in these, and stop time, and, you know, all crazy manner of other things, which are really nice, though. I really do enjoy them. I just get pissed off when I have to wander around for, like, you know, 6 hours to go ahead and find out where I'm supposed to go next. But they are a lot of fun. The added RPG elements to the Castlevania series recently, in the last, well, for the handheld series, has been just phenomenal. I mean, it's just been an absolute ball to play these kind of games. And I keep buying them, so they must be fun, and I think everybody should definitely check out these Castlevania games. If you've missed out on Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow, Portrait of Ruin comes out on November 21st. Should offer, I guess, some kind of a multiplayer. Looks like there's two different characters I see on the... I'm not so sure if I've seen anything that actually verified two-player co-op play or anything, but it does look like I've seen screenshots, I swear, with both of them on the screen at the same time. I could be wrong. We'll have to look into this as we get closer, and I'll probably pick this one up, because Castlevanias get hard to find after they've been out for a while. They're that good. I imagine this is probably going to be a $35 game, though, especially the way that these things sell. There's no reason they should not milk the cow on this one. But it will be money well spent. The joke here from Raibo Hero actually wrote down in his part of this, said something about less like the current Metroidvanias. And obviously this, you know, kind of refers to the way you wander around and kill the boss, get the item, go somewhere else, finally figure out where you're going, use that newly created item to progress through the castle. I don't mind it terribly bad. Maybe it just needs a little bit more direction, which would be pretty interesting. It wouldn't be that hard, I don't think, for them to give you a little clue after you beat a boss and get some kind of item and it says, oh, maybe in this quadrant of the castle or whatnot, you know, or give you a rough idea of where you're supposed to go, because not always did you go into every single little nook and cranny, and so therefore you never saw where it was that you think you have to go next. Should be a blast, though. Castlevania Portrait of Ruin, November 21st. And then Kirby gets a sequel. Kirby Squeak Squad, December 4th. This is an actual Kirby sequel, not some kind of weird spin-off, not some kind of a racing game, and not some kind of a painting game. This is a true Kirby sequel, so that should be really cool. Comes out December 4th. Kirby fans have probably been just chomping at the bit waiting for a new Kirby game that wasn't gimmicky. I mean, you know, Campus Curse was a lot of fun and all, but it's a Kirby fan, you probably want something more true to the series. Now, next up on the list, the lovely, the talented, the large and in charge Microsoft Xbox, the original. This is a very short list, because basically we went through this and trimmed the fat. And after breaking all of the garbage away, we've come up with, basically the Xbox gets a bunch of shit-ass sequels, and there's nothing good coming out for this thing. Nothing that anybody should be overly excited about anyway, that isn't either on some other console already, or will be at the same time. But they get Madden. They get Madden 07. Look forward to that. If you haven't picked up anything else yet, or you don't have a PS2, or you don't have maybe a 360 or a GameCube, you can pick up Madden 07, I guess, right now for the Microsoft Xbox. And that's about it. That's probably like the highlight of their sequels that is coming out. Football fans, at least, can get their Madden on and play on live and do some ass-kicking and all that. On to the Sony PlayStation Deuce. Xenosaga 3, available now. Now, what I cannot figure out, and this drives me crazy, is this is suddenly the last game in the series. Now, if I remember correctly, when we were originally talking about the first Xenosaga, I think it was even on like episode 3 or 4 of Games and More Entertainment Radio, there were supposed to be like 6 or 7. I remember mentioning that. I was all excited we get to play a nice long series of games. Instead, we got Xenosaga 1, and then all of a sudden, Dot Hack, well, whatever the hell it was, a mutation, infection, some other shit, came out, and that was 4 games that came out between, I swear to God, like between Xenosaga 1 and 2. So they took their sweet time with Xenosaga 2 to come out. When it finally did, a lot of my interest had dried up in it, and I did eventually pick it up, but it must have not sold very well, because I was able to find plenty of copies laying around town here for $20 stuffed in the corner somewhere that nobody really seemed to care about. Now, I know it's a pretty fun game, because I've talked to people that have played it all the way through and have enjoyed it, yet it's just not selling very well, and I think this is probably why this is suddenly the last game in the series. Xenosaga 3 is actually available now. It's only $40. They didn't stick the $50 price tag on about it. Of course, you've got the usual crew of Cosmos and Xion, and I imagine you get to jump in all your mechs and everything. I mean, that's what Xenosaga is all about. This is the kind of game I'm going to wind up picking up and not playing for a while, because I'm going to want to get to it at some point in the future, probably when I have a PS3 and I'm playing my PS2 games on it at some point. a shit ton of cutscenes. You know this game is just loaded with cutscenes. It's going to have quite a bit, and what my concern is, I don't know if I'm just hearing this or what, but a good chunk of the first part of the game is like hours of cutscenes. And I'm concerned. I'm worried if this might be, basically they just said, we'll do Xenosaga 1, 2, and then we'll make 3, 4, 5, and 6, or however many there were, video to tell the story in the beginning of what will be Xenosaga 3, or would have been 7, I imagine, or 6, whatever, however far they were going to go. The combat system is just a little bit different. I guess it's a combination of the combat system found in Xenosaga 1 and Xenosaga 2. And weird-ass little side quests and whatnot. I guess there's something called swimsuit hunts, which I'm not sure what that is, but it sounds interesting. As you can imagine, seeing Cosmos in a hot little swimsuit would be pretty entertaining if you're into that sort of sick thing, you know. And, of course, you get to unlock rewards and whatnot for having a saved game on your memory card from Xenosaga 2, so there is a little bit of incentive there. I'm not sure what they do. They probably give you some stupid outfit or something, but hopefully it's more than that. It is actually a good series. I just think maybe they space it out too long for what should have been just massively epic quests. And I bet if they would have released them closer together, they would have been able to carry it out past three games. But maybe its time is over. A game that we've been pretty excited about here for a while is Okami. O-K-A-M-I comes out September 19th, I believe. This is an action game. You play as a goddess who's in wolf form. You run around as a wolf, and you have this thing called your celestial paintbrush, or your celestial brush, I'm sorry. And you somehow use that with the PS2 controller to paint various things on the screen, such as, say, a bridge. If you need to cross a giant chasm or something, you can paint a bridge, and then it fills it in on the screen, and you get to cruise across it. You can draw little swirly things, and it makes some wind blow, so if you need to blow something over, maybe you can use it to attack enemies and knock them down or something. You can do that. It sounds pretty cool. Sounds like the kind of game that you would want on a Nintendo DS or a Nintendo Wii, though, doesn't it? I just think that sounds a little strange to be using a controller for that setup. I'm sure it will work mostly fine, though. I'm just saying there's probably a better interface for it. The graphical style of this game is very, very interesting, though. It's very, Kobar described it as Japanese cave painting style. It's very cel-shaded with a primitive art style to it, I would definitely say. It's very interesting, though. It looks good. Things are very bizarre in the world, too. You're going to have to go check out some video and screenshots of this, because it actually looks like it could be a hell of a cool game. Looks like there's some collection stuff in there, too, if I remember correctly. Little things like that to keep you motivated as you're playing. But it does look like a whole lot of fun and different than a lot of things that we've been playing recently. This is called Okami. I believe it should be out on the 19th of September, which is not too far from now, just a little bit over a week. A game that it's either now or again in a week from now called Yakuza. This is Grand Theft Auto Tokyo, which I'm not too terribly excited about. I don't think this is from Rockstar, so who knows how different they've made this here. Greater emphasis on atmosphere and a whole lot less emphasis on the carjacking, which is good. I don't know how much overall crime you're going to have. I imagine it's more mobster style, I would think, you know, where you're collecting money from people you're protecting or something, possibly. Could not tell you a whole lot on the history of the Yakuza, so I don't know what the focus of the game is. Apparently Mark Hamill is involved. He does some voices for the game. Cock knocker himself. I guess the combat system is quite better than the GTA series combat system. They've got multi-hit combo type things. I'm sure you can use a whole slew of weapons and whatnot. I just don't know. I imagine you're going to have a katana and probably some ninja stars or some shit, I don't know. Grand Theft Auto Tokyo comes out, Yakuza comes out, it's either now or in a week from now. Valkyrie Profile 2 for the lovely Sony PlayStation 2, September 26th is the date that we've got on that. It's a prequel to the original Valkyrie Profile. It's an action RPG, and now Kobar knew quite a bit about this more than I did. Each face button apparently makes one of your four characters attack. That allows you to set up some pretty quick activated combos, you know, so maybe you need your fighter and then some other type of class to go and then back to the fighter class or whatever. You can hit that, maybe your fighter's on A and the thief is on B, so you can go A, B, A or whatever and set up a neat little combo between them two. The graphic style style is really nice. The PlayStation 2 really has some fantastic looking graphics on that. And if you're way into the series, I know Valkyrie Profile Lenith or something is out on the PSP, I believe, which is very similar, just less graphics, you know, but still a hell of a lot of fun. It looks like a pretty fantastic game. Just a whole pile of side quests to do in this too, as you go through the main quest and everything. But action RPGs, I don't know, I have a lot of fun with them, so I'm kind of looking forward to this game. Been keeping my eye on it and just kind of waiting for a release to see how well it does. Valkyrie Profile 2 should be September 26th. That's definitely a game to keep an eye out for. Tales of the Abyss, October 10th. This is basically, and I love Rybo's little description here, it's a RPG zero, whatever, like a year. You know, this is basically RPG 06 here. Basically, they have been putting out too many Tales games recently. It does seem like we've seen an awful lot of them. Recently, we've had Tales of Eternia on the PSP, Tales of Symphonia on the GameCube. We had Tales of Fantasia on the PSP recently, which I guess these are remakes or reproductions of older games. But they are fun. They are an awful lot of fun. They have an interesting combat system because you wander around the map like you do in most old school type RPGs, where you're this giant dude or one of your people in the party walk around the map. Of course, you get into a combat, and now you're playing like a fighting game almost. It's basically Street Fighter, except for you have like four people on your team. You can set up scripts for how they fight and everything, so if you know certain characters get below X amount of hit points, you have healing characters that can cast healing spells. You can have your mage guys constantly, you know, spam one spell if that's what you want. You can tell them where to stand on the battlefield, try to stay away from enemies, try to be right up on enemies, you know, or just defend. It's really cool. You can actually set up quite a bit of things. I've been playing Tales of Eternia on the PSP, or at least I did for a while there, and was having a pretty good time with it. Pretty interesting story in these kind of games usually. It's a lot of fun. Basically, it's just a lot of fun. I imagine if you're an RPG fan that you're just loving this constant stream of games from this series, which is okay. There's nothing wrong with it if they're good games, and so far they've all been pretty good games. This is Tales of the Abyss comes out for the PlayStation 2 on October 10th. Rockstar, Take-Two Interactive, puts out a school simulator called Bully on October 16th. This game has gotten all kinds of press. And basically, they get their press from terrorist Jackie Thompson. He's taken a personal interest in this company, and this is how he makes his fortune and stays famous, by basically ripping into some company that actually produces things and is productive. He basically tries to tear them down in a very negative light and does everything he can to make himself more money and more famous, and all in the name of whatever. He's probably some psycho-Christian bullshit where he thinks that, you know, this is a happy little land where we live with fairies and elves and rainbows and unicorns and shit, but sadly, it's not. Rockstar's games are known for their realism and, quite frankly, their brutal violence, which is not necessarily a bad thing. The games are fairly entertaining. I'm not a huge fan of them, however. I just don't enjoy playing them that long, but the series has a giant following, and this game, I'm sure, will have a lot of the elements from the very famous Grand Theft Auto series in it all. So I guess you play as a kid, and from what I can tell, you're just like a bully in the school, or you're either the kid that gets picked on, or maybe you get to play a little bit of both, or maybe you were picked on, then you get to be an ass. I'm not quite sure. In fact, they got some funky website, like BullworthAcademy.com or something. You can learn a little bit about the game there. I don't know. I don't care about this release, so I'm not too big on information for it, but I do know that this game is probably going to sell like crack, and who knows? It might wind up being a Rockstar game I actually really, really enjoy. Another game that looks like I'm going to enjoy the ever-living crap out of is Dot Hack GU for the PlayStation 2 comes out on the greatest day in history. That would be October 24th, my birthday. Another Dot Hack game. This is part 1 of 3, which I like it, you know, ahead of time when they say it. There's going to be this many in the series. Look forward to more. Hopefully there won't be, you know, 500 years between release dates. Now this game, just Dot Hack GU Part 1 itself, is supposed to be bigger than the first four Dot Hack games that were on the PS2 previously together, which is phenomenal, which is great, because quite frankly, they were very short. I mean, they were the kind of thing you could whip out in like 15 hours of gameplay, no big deal, unless you were some kind of sick-in-the-head completionist that just, you know, had some kind of obsessive-compulsive disorder and had to get every little nook and cranny of all these games, which is awesome when you're that into a game and you're really into it and doing all those things. This game is supposed to be huge. I've actually seen quite a bit of video on this and looked into it a little bit. Basically, I guess you've got 10 classes. You can switch between them at will, even during combat. Now, combat in this game is sweet. I think we need more combat like this in a lot of games. You can, you're just walking around the map with your party, and they're following behind you. I guess it takes place in the same world as the original Dot Hack series on the PS2 did, which is the world, but it's now the world version 2. I think that is 7 years. This takes place like 7 years later. The combat, I want to touch on that because I like it. The controls are ass backwards. At least the camera is screwed up, so hopefully they will give you the opportunity to adjust the camera quite a bit on this. I do not know if you can or cannot, but I really, really hope that you can. Because it made the original Dot Hack series very painful for me to play. But this game looks really good. The graphics are pretty damn nice. It's going to be a huge game. Combat, you just roll up on dudes and start attacking. I don't know. It looks good. I like the way the combat works in this game. I do not know how to describe it. It's a lot like your average action-adventure RPG, but it's got a nice 3D MMO kind of feel to it. And, of course, you do have other party members because, remember, you are playing in an MMO on this game on your PlayStation in the real world that's version 2. Final Fantasy XII comes out November 1st for the PlayStation 2. This is basically, as far as we can tell, Final Fantasy XI offline with, you know, new models, different characters, and a different storyline, which could be absolutely phenomenal. We've talked about this game a little bit in the past. It looks really, really good. I imagine Final Fantasy XI fans are just going to eat this up. I am very excited about it, but I do not like Square a whole lot. I get burned by them too often, and I am not too fond of most of their games anyway. However, Final Fantasy, like 1 through 6, I believe, are a fantastic series. 7, 8, 9, 10, I did not like. 11 is just the greatest MMO. So hopefully Final Fantasy 12 will be an awful lot like 11, but offline. I'm really curious to see what they're going to do with this game. Apparently you can set up scripts for your party and basically how they attack and whatnot. Kind of, you know, basically like Dot Hack, except for it's Final Fantasy. Which is why I'm going to predict right now that Final Fantasy 12 will sell probably 10 times as much as Dot Hack, regardless of how awesome Dot Hack is. Simply, it's not called Final Fantasy. Guitar Hero 2 for the PlayStation 2 comes out on November 1st. I actually have the track list here, courtesy of Lord Drack. He hooked me up with this, because otherwise I would have missed it. And I will blow through these really quick. Nirvana, Heart-Shaped Box, one of the greatest bands of all time. Primus' original recording, John the Fisherman. Stone Temple Pilots, Tripping on a Hole in a Paper Heart. Anthrax, Madhouse, Motley Crue, Shout at the Devil, The Police, Message in a Bottle, The Pretenders, Tattooed Love Boys. Spinal Tap, Tonight I'm Gonna Rock You Tonight. Heart, Crazy on You, Allman Brothers Band, Jessica, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Freebird, Avenged Sevenfold, Beast and the Harlot, Dick Dale, Miserlou, Lamb of God, Laid to Rest, Alice in Chains, the greatest band that has ever walked the earth, Them Bones, Reverend Horton Heat, Psychobilly Freakout, Black Sabbath, War Pigs, Kiss, Strutter, Butthole Surfers, the most jacked up name I've ever heard in my life for a band, Who Was in My Room Last Night, Van Halen, You Really Got Me, Guns N' Roses, Sweet Child O' Mine, The Rolling Stones, Can You Hear Me Knocking, and Rush, YYZ. This game is freaking huge. It's basically DDR for your hands, except for you get to jam out with an actual guitar in your hands and not just your air guitar and play along to the music. And this game must hook people. I've seen people stay in a store for 5 hours playing a demo unit, the same person. I mean, people love this game, and everybody I talk to just gets all excited when we're talking about the new Guitar Hero game. I imagine you get a little burnout of the first one by now if you've got, you know, this limited track list here. But apparently it's just that much fun. There's a new SOCOM game coming out for the PlayStation 2 on November 7th. This is SOCOM 4. It's basically just SOCOM 4. I do not know what they're going to add to this. I really don't care because it's just not my style of game. These first-person shooters on a console, I have problems with them. The controls and the game speed is just never fast enough or good enough. Not in that order. And I'm not a huge fan, so I don't see us really talking about this too much in the future, although I know there's a lot of people that just go absolutely psycho over the SOCOM series, because it is a solid series, and it's about the best thing you probably have going on the PlayStation 2 for a first-person shooter. Team-based combat, you know, you get to run around. It kind of reminds me of Ghost Recon an awful lot. You know, you're a military shooter, you have a little squad and whatnot cruising around with you. Also, for the PlayStation 2, this is the last one I have on this list for November 7th, is the Sega Genesis Collection. This is a compilation disc put out by Sega. Now, this is the way that you put out a collection. I hope somebody from Square is listening, because God knows they listen to what the people have to say. There's 30 games on this thing, I guess. Alex Kidd Enchanted Castle. Altered Beast, that is a classic game. And, I really wish they would put out some of the old school games, like Alex Kidd in Miracle World. That was, like, one of the best platformers of all time. You heard it there, folks. Bonanza Brothers. Columns. Comic Zone. Decap Attack. Echo the Dolphin. Echo 2. Tides of Time. Echo Jr. Eternal Champions. I remember when that game first came out. It was supposed to be the Street Fighter killer. I remember a lot of people getting overly excited over it. It finally came out, and I remember it being ass. Flicky. Gain Ground. A game, for some reason, I was oddly obsessed with back in the day. Golden Axe, a favorite of Wolf's. Golden Axe 2. Phantasy Star 2, 3, and 4, which is just spectacular. That is awesome. Rystar, Shadow Dancer, and Shinobi 3, which I played the ever-living crap out of. Sonic 1 and 2, Super Thunderblade, if I remember right, that is the helicopter shooter, which is a lot of fun. Sword of Vermilion, which I think is a fantastic RPG. I even, this is a bizarre story, I even recreated the first part of that game as a D&D adventure for some friends of mine. And we basically played through Sword of Vermilion. It was a lot of fun, but that game was great. I probably beat that RPG myself single-handedly 4 or 5 times. I mean, it was good stuff, and to see it come out now for the PS2, I hope a lot of people that have never heard of a ROM before and emulation can go ahead and get their Sword of Vermilion on. Vector Man 1 and 2... Virtua Fighter 2, and there's 3 more games. I mean, that was like 27 games, so I'm not sure if we're missing something or if maybe I misread something that said almost 30 games. But that's how you do a collection. This will probably be $30-$40, but you're getting damn near 30 games for it, which is that's fantastic. On to the Nintendo GameCube. We move on here to the wife beater here. This poor game. I just don't know what to think about the GameCube anymore. It does have a solid set of games out there. It is inexpensive. There's no reason not to have one, really, as long as you can name, using the cushion system, 5 games, you know, that you would buy for this thing, particularly based on the price of this thing. The games are fun. The controller itself is very comfortable. It's different than anything else, though. It's just a little bit different. You've got that giant A button and whatnot. Well, everybody knows what a GameCube looks like, I guess, by now. But the games are fun. I hate to slight the GameCube in any way, other than the fact that I do feel it was kind of abandoned by Nintendo. So, Baten Kaitos Origins, I'm not sure what this game exactly is. It's September 25th. A prequel to the original with a streamlined combat system is all we know. Now, Kobar actually owns this and was able to talk about it back in take number 1 of this particular episode, but I know, like, next to nothing about this game, so I can't tell you too much about it. I do know that there's not a whole lot of RPGs out on the Nintendo GameCube, and so you wind up playing, like, Tales of Symphonia, maybe Zelda the Wind Waker, and Baten Kaitos. So I imagine fans will be looking forward to this a lot. I just don't see a whole lot of people even purchasing GameCube stuff anymore. It's rather sad. Although I do see a lot of people buying Xbox 360 stuff. Honest to God, it's I did not think that I would just see that many people picking these things up. And now that they're actually available and in stores, I do see quite a few people buying these things. Now this next one, Legend of Zelda the Twilight Princess, November 1st. This is the Legend of Zelda the Twilight Princess for the Nintendo GameCube version, not the Wii version. We've got this highlighted in the notes for the sake of Rybo because Kobar had some big point. Ha! Rybo, they haven't said they're going to cancel it because I think there's a bet on the forums going between those two that Nintendo's going to back out of the Nintendo GameCube version. At this point, that's still some kind of a rumor, not going to happen. It should come out for the Nintendo GameCube. I imagine it will. I do not see them this late in the game all of a sudden changing face and saying, no, you're not going to get the Twilight Princess on the Nintendo GameCube. DK Bongo Blast comes out December 1st. This, I imagine, is a Congo game here. You play, it's a Donkey Kong Jungle Beat meets Mario Party meets Pilot Wings meets Mario Kart. This sounds a lot like just a big party game. You get to play with the bongos and different little mini-games, racing, and I'm sure there's all kinds of little other weird mini-games like Hungry Hippo-type crap and whatnot, like the Mario Party series, which is actually quite a bit of fun to play. You get a bunch of friends in the room. I cannot imagine the noise that you will be making with, like, 8 bongos in the room with 4 people sitting around beating the crap out of them all. But it should be a very, very, very fun party game. On to, of all things, the sleek, sexy, hotness, barren game wasteland that is the Sony PlayStation Portable. Now, believe it or not, I really do feel that Sony's finally opening their eyes and coming around to realizing this thing is going to be used for games. Now, I can't go to work a day without it, but it's also primarily my MP3 player and a video player when I'm on the go. So I use it every single day, but never, almost never, to play any video games unless I'm looking for some emulation. I'd actually rather play it on the PSP than almost anything else. So I get use out of mine, and a lot of people have theirs sitting there collecting dust, this nice little shiny black sexy toy in the corner that they paid $200 or $250 for, plus Sony's proprietary memory stick. Paperweight. However, I do think there are some fantastic games coming out for this thing recently and upcoming, too. And I think this is out now, September 5th. Ultimate Ghouls and Ghosts. This is an actual sequel to Ghouls and Ghosts, which is awesome. None of this Maximo crap where I think they kind of dropped the ball with the franchise. They could have done fantastic, and it was a great idea. I just think it was a couple too many problems with it. A good idea, bad execution, but Ultimate Ghouls and Ghosts for the Sony PSP should be like one of the perfect games for a handheld system like this, something you can just kind of take and jam out some levels. I'm fairly certain you're going to be nice and pissed off running around on your heart box, heart-covered boxers, getting owned by zombies and mummies and ghosts and whatnot. Should be an awful lot of fun. Little platforming shooters like that, or just action slash shooter, whatever the hell you want to call it, is actually an awful lot of fun. I'm a big fan of those. I do not know how much that's going to be, but I would expect to pay maybe $30 for a game like that. I think it should be pretty damn cool. And further milking the cows, Grand Theft Auto Vice City Stories. Now, Rockstar put out, you know, Grand Theft Auto Liberty City Stories for the PSP and then later on for the PlayStation 2, and I imagine the exact same thing's going to happen here. This is Vice City Stories now. Going out on a limb, you never know. There might be a San Andreas Stories here one day in the near future. You can never milk it too much. And sadly, I don't know this person personally, but I've been to his house and seen him and seen his game collection. Kids that strictly play GTA. Like, their game collection consists of Grand Theft Auto 3 for the PC, Grand Theft Auto Vice City for the PC, San Andreas for the PlayStation 2, and the GTA series for the PSP. That's, like, all they play, and they are absolutely hooked. 14 years old, their parents don't seem to know exactly what the hell's going on there. They must have no freaking clue at all, but they are a lot of fun. And if you're looking for more Grand Theft Auto action, you can get it on your PSP with Vice City Stories. Now, check this out. Capcom Classics Collection 2. This is another compilation that we've mentioned today, coming up between now and the end of the year. For the Sony PSP, Capcom Classics Collection 2 Reloaded comes out on the greatest day in history, October 24th. The game list is 1942, 1943, 1943 KAI. Those are shooter games. Final Fight, Pirate Ship Higanaru, which I have no idea what that one is. Final Fight's like a side screen. It reminds me of like Streets of Rage. Street Fighter 2, the original version, Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition, and Street Fighter 2 Hyper Fighting. You can never, ever, ever have enough Street Fighter 2, I'm convinced. Ghosts and Goblins, Ghouls and Ghosts, classics. Super Ghouls and Ghosts, another classic. Gunsmoke, which I actually used to have in my possession an arcade cabinet of, believe it or not. One of my favorite shooters of all time, Mercs. I played the ever-living crap out of this in the arcade. I loved it. And then when the Mercs game came out for the Sega Genesis, I do not think there was many games that logged that many of my hours with them. It's just basically an isometric view shooter, Ikari Warrior style, run around as a mercenary and blow stuff up with your guns, flamethrowers, rocket launchers, grenades, you name it. And it is awesome. It is a lot of fun. And then I guess the arcade version of Bionic Commando is going on this disc also, which is, in my opinion, the suck one, because they don't want to put a Nintendo game out on this, I guess, because it looks like ass, they say, but it doesn't mean that the gameplay is not fun, because Bionic Commando on Nintendo, to me, was one of the very best games, I swear to God, that I've ever played in my life, and I did not like the arcade one. It wasn't as Spider-Man-y. It wasn't as smooth. It just didn't seem like it had it. You had the arm and all, so you could grapple onto stuff and move things around and use it to, you know, deflect bullets, I'm sure, and reach ledges and swing and whatnot, but it just, on the Nintendo one, I remember being able to, like, swing, mid-swing, detach it, and so you're kind of flying in the air, and then swing again and grab onto something and swing and, you know, basically Spider-Man your way around some levels, and it was awesome. I was not able to pull that off in the arcade version myself. I don't know why. They just different gameplay styles, even though the graphics were much improved. Section Z, Volgus, Sun Sun, Trojan, EXED, that's two different words. Attack of the Savage Bees is, I guess, what it was called, probably over here in the States. Knights of the Round, I remember a buddy of mine was way into that. I think that's a Super Nintendo game. Eco Fighters and King of Dragons. I just want to say, fuck you, Square. This is how you redo old games, okay? You do not give you Final Fantasy 1 and 2 on a cart for, you know, 30 or 40 bucks, and then go ahead and put out 3 and 4, and then 5 and 6, you know. Okay, what you do is you take these little tiny games of yours that were fantastic back in the day, you package them up on one CD. These games are tiny as all hell. They will fit, no problem. You don't even have to redo them. Okay, hell, on the ones that you've already redone, fine. Give us both versions of it. I guarantee you all this crap will fit on a CD. Well, we don't need your stupid little cutscene videos that weren't in the originals either to make the game fun these days, okay? They were fantastic games. Stop ruining your franchise. Now, this is basically going to be the cost of probably, you know, any two Final Fantasy game compilation, but you get, like, an assload of games, which are just as much fun. Maybe not any RPGs, it looks like, but action-type games, which are a blast. They're a lot of fun, so fuck you, Square. Open your eyes and give us, you know, hell, put it on a DVD. Put it on the PS2 DVD. Give us Final Fantasy 1 through 6, the originals, and the remakes. That would be fantastic. You could pack the Japanese versions on there, too. These old games are not that big. You could hook everybody up. Hell, don't charge us $30. Charge us $50, okay? That would be fine if we're actually getting what we pay for. You goddamn rapists. Killzone Liberation, October 31st, Halloween night. You get to get your Killzone on the PlayStation Portable. Killzone Liberation, it's Killzone with an Ikari Warriors type feel to it instead of the way Killzone was on the PlayStation. This is not that first person shoot 'em up crap. More like Mercs, basically, isometric view, run around as you're not. I've seen some screenshots, and I'm absolutely blown away, impressed by this. These kind of games remind me a lot of, like, maybe Champions of Norrath or Baldur's Gate, Dark Alliance, those action RPGs, hack and slash type stuff like Diablo, except for it's military, where you've got guns and bombs and, you know, grenades and all kinds of really cool stuff like that. That's fun, too. I am really, really looking forward to this game. Sadly, it has a very popular name, so it's probably going to be more expensive than your average PSP game. I imagine they're going to try to stick it in and break it off a little bit on this one, so you might want to hang back, see some reviews, see if it's worth all that, and see how much the price drops down to in just a little bit. Now, we also have a couple of Nintendo Game Boy Advance games. Believe it or not, see, we're covering all the bases here. I want to thank Raibo again for putting this list of games together that we're going through now. Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Red Rescue comes out on September 18th. This is, you know, a Pokemon game. Capcom Classics Mini Mix. Okay, this is it comes out September 19th. Now check this out. It's only got three games. It's called a Mini Mix. I imagine it's going to be rather cheap. Also, I would expect this to be in the $20 range. It has, and these, I guess, the Nintendo version, Strider, which was an awesome game. Now I was not a big fan of the Nintendo Strider. I was a huge fan of the arcade Strider, though, which was a lot like, I believe, the Genesis one, which was just a fantastic game. I did not get on very well with the Nintendo one. Bionic Commando, the Nintendo version, I'm so all over that. Bionic Commando is just an amazing game. It's something they need to bring back and not break. And Mighty Final Fight, which should be a pretty fun game to relive all the classic gameplay with. Those three games, hopefully for around $20 on your Nintendo Game Boy Advance. And this is peculiar. Square, once again, raping you for the Nintendo Game Boy Advance, comes out November 6th. Final Fantasy V Advance. Now, this is Final Fantasy V on the Game Boy Advance, and pretty much there's not a whole lot known. They're saying it's not going to be all redone and, you know, fancied up. I mean, we're putting this on the Game Boy Advance, for God's sakes. Not a whole lot of 3D going on there. Which is fine. You can have these fantastic 2D sprite-based, you know, RPGs, and they're just the shit. They're just incredibly fun. What my concern is how bad they're going to screw this up. Likely, they're going to add a bunch of shit that you don't need, a bunch of excess crap, and they're going to probably break the game somehow with some terrible artificial intelligence. I'm sure they're going to hose that up somehow, too. I am very afraid, and I'll tell you right now, I won't be picking this up. I already know I won't. I'm also kind of jaded towards the Game Boy Advance games now. They still have a giant, huge release list. If you don't believe me, go over to ebgames.com, pull up their website, and just, like, search for Game Boy games that are, like, coming soon. It's absolutely gigantic. And that's fine. A lot of people still have a Game Boy Advance. You can pick them up for like $10 on eBay. Okay, I understand that. What I don't understand is if you're buying all these games, why don't you just save up, you know, for just a little bit and pick up a DS so you can still play your GBA games, except for get some of the awesome stylus action and dual screen stuff going on. That's about it for the Game Boy Advance games. Now, I've done very, very good. this entire 47 minutes that I've been by myself about not talking about the Microsoft Xbox 360. Kobar was here in the original take of it to keep me on task, because I tend to go off on tangents an awful lot, and there's quite a few things that I definitely wanted to rant on about the Microsoft Xbox 360. Good and bad. Not really a whole lot of bad, basically just how awesome some different things are, and some complaints of mine about maybe the controls in, say, a game like Perfect Dark Zero. But, see, here I am, off on a tangent. Staying to topic, Enchanted Arms. This is available now, a Japanese-style RPG for the Xbox 360. I actually own this, and I'm probably a good 6-7 hours into it now, and absolutely loving this game. It's not getting fair press, I don't think, though. Why? Because it's not called Final Fantasy Arms, or Enchanted Fantasy, or whatever the case, you know. I just think that it's getting slammed by a lot of people that also did not give it a fair shot. At first, I was actually kind of disappointed. I mean, the first 2-3 hours of the game were rough. They talk down to you like you've never played an RPG before, which is okay, because some people haven't. And the people that are listening to the show, you know, me, myself, the listeners, Kobar included, all of us, we're not, you know, we weren't born yesterday, but a lot of people haven't played an RPG. Some people, this is scary to think about, their first console is an Xbox 360, okay? And they do not know what to expect from an RPG. So this game does things like, you know, okay, we'll walk up to the ladder, and then, you know, one of your party members is like, oh, don't you remember how to climb up a ladder? They taught us that in class. You press the A button and then walk up it, and it's pretty cool, actually. Well, okay, it's annoying. That part's annoying. It's pretty cool that in the game, all of the stuff is by the A button. You can smash. There's a, you know, the occasional box there that you can smash and maybe find an item in, and you can investigate things by pressing A. You can move these little magical slider platform things, which they kind of use for some puzzle action in the game, which you just hop on, press A, move, and then press A to get off. I mean, basically, it's all pressing A. You can swim, but you walk up to the water line and press A, and then you swim. And it actually tells you on the screen in case you forgot. It's just the first couple hours of the game are very annoying. They have added some really cool things, I think, to the RPG world that were sorely missed. One of the complaints I hear, we're going to do a big review on this actually, so I don't want to get too much into it, but some of the complaints I hear about this game are one of the characters in the very beginning is homosexual. He is very, very flamboyant. I mean, for God's sakes, his weapon, right? He plays a saxophone. He kind of reminds you of a bard, I guess, if you look at him. He wears this very crazy, brightly colored, kind of disgusting-looking outfit, and he sounds so gay. He really does. They played it up an awful lot, but I think it's entertaining, okay? If you have some problems because, you know, there's a character that's gay in your game, you have other issues going on that you need to work out, I think, before you play too many video games. You little homophobic there, you gotta get over that, okay? I mean, it's not like there's some scary beast people or anything. Set down your Bibles and open your eyes, and let's look at some science here and some reality, I think. A lot of people complain about that, but I will tell you, if it does bother you, suck it up, get over it, because he goes away from your group in maybe about hour 4, okay? Right before you see one of the awesomest cutscenes in a video game in a long time. Another complaint I was hearing was the voice acting. The American voice acting is shit. Okay, it's pretty bad. I'll give you that. It really is. But do I want to hear a bunch of Japanese people that are, you know, sound like they're actually talking to me? Not really, because then I can't understand it, and I have to sit and read the crap anyway. So I actually do leave the American voices on, as bad as some of them are. Some of them aren't all that terrible, but for the most part, they're pretty bad. They're not great. Okay? But, you know, you have the option of using the Japanese audio. It's not like they're forcing you to listen to this. I'm sure you can turn it off, too. What is the other complaint I hear a lot about? Oh, when you get out of a combat, in the combat, if you've ever played Evolution 1 or 2, like the games before Grandia series, which I think has the most fantastic combat in the world, is based on like a grid system. The screen, picture your battle system. It's random battle, so you're walking around, you hop into a random battle all of a sudden, and the screen is kind of divided into two. There's no like line across it. There's just this like kind of invisible grid that you guys are fighting on, and there's it's four bars or blocks, squares across and three down or whatever. So you can go three rows back, and then there's like a front line. You know, it's by four. So each side now has 12 squares they can maneuver in. And you do have to have moves that will, you know, are like ranged. They will go to the back rows and whatnot. So there's quite a bit of strategy involved in the combat. You have your party of four, and they seem to get positioned randomly on the grid on your side when you join the combat. And it's actually pretty cool combat. They made it very fast, because in an RPG, you're doing an awful lot of random battles. And games like Final Fantasy, I feel, drag them out too long. You've got that, like, 10-second, you know, the screen spins around and waits and plays some kind of haunting music, you know, like, oh my god, I'm going into combat. Any minute now. They're loading. The enemies are coming for me. Oh, 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 there we go. The screen went black. Oh, there they are. There's the battlefield. Okay, now I'm going to cast my one spell. Now I got a 7-minute video I have to watch of that spell. You can actually speed up every single point of combat in this game by just holding the Y button. Okay, so, you know, once you tell your four guys what to do, and they seem to attack in the order that you tell them, so you can set up your own initiative if you need to do some cool combo stuff. There's combo attacks. There's special, like, kind of like limit break, basically. They're called EX attacks. You can do those kind of things, the combo attacks. You can get all multiple people involved on attacking this single enemy for massive damage if you attack their weak element. It's actually got earth, wind, water, fire, light, and dark, which I like. None of this, like, ice and magma and sludge crap or whatever the hell that they just make up out of thin air. Lightning and such. I don't know what else to say, really. It's an awful lot of fun. It really is. It's called Enchanted Arms. It's out now for the Xbox 360. It's $60. There's also a game called Saints Row, which is basically Grand Theft Auto 360. This game is a complete, direct, flagrant ripoff of the of Grand Theft Auto. I mean, you would think that you were looking at Grand Theft Auto, you know, 5 or whatever the hell is after San Andreas, if you didn't know better. I mean, it's that much of a ripoff. So I imagine fans will absolutely love it. I actually know some people that want to buy an Xbox to play this one game. And that's fine. You know, they're fantastic games. Or they do offer quite a bit of fun. You can actually download a demo of this, I know, on Xbox Marketplace if you want to go ahead and check it out. There's even quite a few bugs, like the demo level limits you. So, you know, you walk around town or drive around town in a car that you stole or whatever, and there's these giant red barriers that say demo that you can't get through. Well, I've seen video of a guy, like, park a car next to a tree and on the other side, right next to the red barrier, and basically because the game realizes there's a tree on the passenger side, he won't get out that side, and he'll pop out the driver's side and on the other side of the demo, which is pretty cool because you can walk around quite a bit. It's not the full game or anything, but, you know, I mean, you can go play around and do some little tricks like that and have a good time with at least a demo. Phantasy Star, and that's available now. Phantasy Star Universe on the greatest day in history, October 24th. The card battles are gone. It's basically Phantasy Star Online 4. It's supposed to have a real single-player campaign now, which is fantastic because I was a big fan of the Phantasy Star series. It's a great RPG series that Sega was kind of letting drown for a while there. We didn't see any new games for this, and it was rather sad. But now there's supposed to be an actual real single-player campaign, not just basically offline, online mode or whatever, you know, multiplayer, offline, single-player, multiplayer. They're I guess, doing away with that. They're going to offer, hopefully, a really good story and a really nice campaign for single-player players to play through. And, of course, the online component, which is an awful lot of fun for people. I just hope they keep the goddamn cheating down, but I'm going to have to keep my eye on that because Phantasy Star kicks ass. That's Phantasy Star Universe on October 24th, 2006. Dead or Alive Extreme 2 on November 1st, which should be... Oh, Christ. I mean, it's going to be a waste of money unless you just want to, you know, have some Spanktravision on your Xbox 360. It's just, you know, the hot Dead or Alive chicks bouncing around in bikinis and whatnot while you give them presents, which are smaller bikinis, and play some beach games or whatnot. I don't know. The graphics are amazing. You got a core now on this triple core Xeon processor in your Xbox 360. You have a core per jiggly plus one for the game. So, you know, it's going to look and feel, well, maybe not feel, unfortunately. We're getting there. Hopefully someday. It's going to look spectacular. Dead or Alive Extreme 2. And then a game that a lot of people have been waiting for the Xbox 360, Gears of War. This looks like a very close quarters combat shooter game. It kind of reminds me of Lost Planet, which is a fantastic game. You can actually download the E3 demo on Xbox Live Marketplace and check it out now. Looking forward to this game. You've got chainsaw on the end of your gun or some shit. You just stick it into somebody and rip them in half or whatever. It looks like a pretty cool combat with a really nice cover system. Like, your guy can, you know, take cover behind something and then pop out and fairly accurately blow the crap out of some other dudes. It looks like it's third-person view, kind of over the shoulder a little bit of your guy from the videos I've seen, but it looks like an awful lot of fun. In these kind of games, I like it when the guns sound very realistic. You know, a nice big fire coming off of the gun and explosions, and you hear the bullets flying out and the gun just pumping out these rounds. I like it. They're a lot of fun. They kind of get your blood going a little bit. This game looks like it's definitely going to do that. If I remember right, I believe this uses, I think, the Unreal Engine for this, because it's from Epic and our boy Cliffy B? I think so. So that should be pretty cool. I'd love to mention Lost Planet, but that's off next year somewhere. So that does it for the Xbox 360. That's immediate. There's actually quite a few other games out that are coming out really soon for that that aren't on this list. If you go to Xbox.com, you can actually check the list of games that are coming out for the 360 soon. And then, of course, they're mixed in with the games that are already out. But this console is very nice. You know what else is coming out for it? The Xbox Live Arcade. I believe Sonic 2 is coming out to Xbox Live Arcade. Good thing for big fans of Sonic 2. I imagine they're going to have some kind of awesome online multiplayer. I don't see me purchasing that. But, you know, hey, if they're going to try to put out a game a week or every other week, fantastic. They are hitting some very nice, just awesome, spectacular hit games on Xbox Live Arcade. I've got like 6 now that I just adore. And they're like $5 to $10 a piece. It's just fabulous. Fabulous. Actually, that's the name of the saxophone the bard guy has in the Enchanted Arms game, the homosexual guy. His weapon is the fabulous saxophone or something. Pretty funny stuff, but pick that game up. It's actually a good RPG. Give it a shot. Okay, it's not Final Fantasy, so I wish the media would stop knocking it. It actually has a lot of good things there. On to Windows PC gaming. Now, this has been kind of dry lately, and another motivator to pick up something like an Xbox 360, you know, if you don't have a console that you play a lot of, you might want to just suck it up and you know, get one of these nice new next-gen consoles. And the Xbox 360 will fill that void rather well. So right now for Windows, there's not a whole lot of good stuff going. I mean, I'm a big fan of playing like Dungeon Siege 2, Broken World, the expansion's out now, that's pretty cool. But I've just been kind of staring at a lot of games that I just don't want to play on the shelf anymore. Galactic Civilizations 2, that's supposed to be just fantastic. I think it's like $30-$40 now. Darwinia's down to $20. Some pretty cool stuff out there, but not a whole heck of a lot. That's about to change with Battlefield 2142 coming out October 10th. Battlefield series is huge. People absolutely adore this. The beta is going on right now. I know quite a few people in the beta. You can get a beta key if you are a File Planet member. Pretty much it's, you know, Battlefield off in the future, though. So, like Kobar said in the original take of this show, the demo and the beta are going to be awesome, and the real game's probably going to blow. Neverwinter Nights 2, pre-order boxes are already available. I've seen them around town. October 17th, I'm boycotting this game. Basically, they're using DirectX instead of OpenGL now. They've told Mac people and Linux people to go fuck themselves. And it's being run by Atari, which I am terrified of because of their funky-ass track record. You know, I mean, basically, I'm terrified that Neverwinter Nights 2 is going to come out. Hella people are going to buy it because it's pretty cool. And, well, the first one was awesome. And tons of people are going to buy it. There's going to be lots of bugs. Word is going to get out. And Atari's going to be like, well, we didn't sell, you know, 4 billion copies on day one. So, fuck it. And just drop support. This kind of a game needs a company like BioWare to stand behind it. They need a company where they get involved with the community and they care about the game and the progression of their game and patches and fixes and making basically the best product that they can put out. That's what they need, and I do not know. I think it's Obsidian that has it now? I can't remember. I do not know if they're up for the task because, of course, the bills are being paid by Atari. I'm sure they want to, but, you know, hey, he who writes the checks determines exactly what you do for a living. Dark Messiah of Might and Magic from Ubisoft comes out October 24th. Uber. I cannot wait for this game. It looks like basically a more action-y version of something like Oblivion, where it's more of like an action first-person game, medieval style. You know, I mean, it's Might and Magic. It actually looks pretty cool. There's a demo available now, and it was a lot of fun, albeit a little short, but it does show off some pretty amazing things, and I think Windows gamers are going to eat it up. First Encounter Assault Recon Extraction Point comes out October 24th. This is an expansion pack for Fear, which we gave, I think I did, First Person Shooter of the Year, probably my game of the year, I can't remember now, but it's an awesome first person shooter. However, I do feel I'm a little bit over it, so I do not know if I'm going to be picking this up myself, but I'm going to have to wait to hear some things from some listeners maybe to find out what's going on and what the scoop is, because the story was pretty interesting and it did end like where it obviously leaves for either Fear 2 or an expansion pack. Could be pretty cool stuff. Half-Life 2 Episode 2, this is that portals thing that's been floating around. You can get video of it, probably hit up YouTube and type in Half-Life portals or something. It's very interesting. It looks really, really cool how you can, like, open up a hole somewhere in the level, shoot your little blaster thing off somewhere else, and then step through the hole you made and you pop out where the other second hole that you made is, which makes for some very interesting gameplay. That also comes out October 24th. Just in time for the holiday season, those are 5 solid Windows PC games. Now,
we're getting very close to the end here. I've got about 10 minutes left to myself here. I hope this was better than nothing, because I did not want to redo the show, because it's kind of boring talking about the same things over and over again, but I also didn't want to not post the show, particularly after we recorded it. So, I mean, I hope things are going okay. I hope this isn't terrible. I probably need some kind of awesome techno music to keep people interested in the background. But I'm going to wrap this up with a movie and then maybe just a word of closing, something I wanted to mention. The movie I watched was called Dark Water with Jennifer Connelly. She was the young girl in the movie Labyrinth that we all watched as kids, and I still watch because it's an awesome movie. This is basically Jennifer Connelly's character has a kid, and she's like going through a divorce with obviously her husband, her child's father. They have to move off to like a shady apartment outside of town. You know, outside of like the city, they live like on whatever the hell, the island, Roosevelt Island or whatever, in this funky section of town. It's like hella ghetto, and there's like leaks in the building, and freaky people live there, and all kinds of crazy shit happens. And the little girl basically develops she's talking to a spirit. Basically, she thinks she has an imaginary friend, which is like this girl who like died or some shit upstairs in the apartment above, and there's water leaking down, and kids break into the apartment and turn all the water on, and water seeps to the roof, and basically it's an incredibly boring movie. I was not pleased. I tried to watch it in two separate occasions, and I could not get through it. It's just, I don't know, it just wasn't very well done, and it was ultimately a flop. It had a moment or two where it was okay, and basically I'm a big fan of Jennifer Connelly, so it was nice to see her again on the screen, but it's getting about $2 out of $8.75. Now, I wanted to talk about the Sony PlayStation 3 real quick here, just as I wrap up the show, because I went on a little tirade on take number one of the show, which unfortunately is lost forever in the great bit bucket in the sky. And what I wanted to say about the PlayStation 3 was, basically, we are being awfully unfair to it, and some of the things recently that have gone on the show here I'm not too happy with, basically, because of being so prejudiced towards the PlayStation 3, but it's not just us, it's the entire world. Look around at the media, and everybody is not too happy with this thing. There are a lot of absolute, complete PlayStation 3 fanboys. I'm sorry, don't get offended, it happens. Everybody's a fanboy of something at some point. But what I'm saying is, I'm fairly certain that everybody's going to wind up owning a PlayStation 3 at some point. It's just going to happen. They're going to get to the point where you have that many good games on it. Sadly, right now, the leaders are going to be the Nintendo Wii from everything we've seen. I mean, who knows, it might flop. But right now, then that makes the king Xbox 360 of at least the next generation stuff. The PlayStation 2 is still going strong. However, the Xbox 360 has offered, I mean, it's truly a next-gen system with what they've done with the online content and Xbox Live. It's just fascinating what they've done to this little machine here, and basically turned console gaming around as far as I'm concerned. I mean, there's that much different stuff about this that makes it not an ordinary console for me. The PlayStation 3, however, is doing a very good job. Sony's making sure they're ripping off all these ideas of their online play and of the motion sensing and whatnot, and that's fine. I mean, okay, that's how we get, you know, competition breeds this innovation. I mean, they have to change and adapt. Okay, so Sony needs their own little gimmick. I don't know what that's going to be yet. I hope it's something cool, but I imagine they're just going to knock off Xbox Live and what little motion sensing stuff they can out of the Nintendo Wii. Now, that's not to say that these other companies, Microsoft and Nintendo, haven't taken ideas from elsewhere. Okay, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying Sony's the bad guy. I'm actually here to tell you how to make the PlayStation 3 completely successful, and how I think that they could absolutely destroy the Microsoft Xbox 360 and the Nintendo Wii. I'm fairly certain I've got it. See, now, here's the trick. You've basically lost this round, okay, Sony? You put out the PlayStation 3 right now. You're paying an assload of money to build these consoles. You have a reasonably weak lineup. You are going against a system that's well-entrenched now. The Xbox 360 has been sold for a year. And you're going against the media darling right now, the Nintendo Wii, okay? And basically every gamer in the world is kind of looking at this thing as it might turn console gaming around, you know, more so than just, you know, some fantastic online abilities have that the Xbox 360 has. We're looking at maybe a whole new generation of gaming here, a whole complete redesign of what we thought previously. You've lost, okay? You're not bringing anything new to the table, and you're trying to clone what's already out there, okay? What your success is going to be based on the people who want to play Metal Gear Solid so bad they're willing to shell out $60 or $70 for the game and fucking $600 for the unit, okay? Here's how you win this. It'll never happen, but I'm going to call it right now. You delay the PlayStation 3 for a year. The idea being, the Xbox 360 gets only a few more fantastic games in the next year or whatever. You know, there's a few must-have games that people have to have.
Okay. And in fact, what if there's a whole slew of games the Xbox 360 comes out with that everybody just has to have? Fantastic. Let them have it. Let the Wii go on and burn out, okay? Now, I do not think... I pray to God the Wii isn't like a one-hit wonder overnight success and then failure the next day. I hope it goes on strong, and I hope the ideas, you know, stick with future gaming. However, it's possible that, you know, it gets so much amazing media hype now, people buy it in droves this holiday season and dominate you, okay? And now you've got two juggernauts you're going against, which are way better off right now than you are. If you wait 1 year, not only do you have much more refined and perfected PlayStation 3 games, that gives developers another year to take a look at their launch titles and make them basically second-generation titles at launch, though, therefore giving a better impression. And not only that, if this PlayStation 3 comes out next holiday season, 2007 November-ish, okay, you have the advantage of looking like, even though you're not because you'll still be using current hardware, which is fine, but looking like a next-generation system, okay, from today. Because now PlayStation 3 can come out and say, we are completely superior to the Xbox 360. Even though you're not, you can claim this because it's another year. It's 2 years old, the Xbox 360, and we know how gamers love to look at the newest and latest shit, okay? They get off on that. Now, even if it's the same thing as the PlayStation 3 is today, you could still claim that, you know, your technical superiority over the Xbox 360. Whether that may be true by as much as you say or not, I have serious doubts about, okay? And I think most people realize that you throw around these big, huge numbers and basically make up stories, okay? Wait a year. Your thing will be incredibly successful. You won't go up against two giant console launches. Plus, it will be a lot cheaper to make it in a year. You can win all those people back, the non-believers, the people that are going to buy one eventually but don't want to right away. Okay? Give us a year to save up our pennies again. We just bought Xbox 360s. We're buying Wii's. We're going to wait on your PlayStation 3. Give us a year. We'll have the money. You will drop the price. We'll probably pick these things up and have some fantastic games to play, and probably quite a lot. And I really think this is what Sony needs to do to make sure the PlayStation 3 is a success from day one, and not you know, the mediocre release that it's more than likely going to be, if not dismal failure, on day one and maybe the first year. I really think that this, I had to get that off my chest. I think this is the best course of action. I really do feel that the PlayStation 3 is not going to bring anything great to the table, and it's going to be quite some time before I pick one up. We all will. It's inevitable. It'll happen. But we don't really want to, because Sony keeps sticking it up our butts and telling us we'd like it. Okay? Nothing wrong with that. Okay? But not from Sony. We don't want that giant Sony slap in the face. Okay? You fucked us up on our music. You fucked us up on our PCs. You're going to fuck us up on the PlayStation 3. Take some time off. Redesign. You're not going to go out of business in that year. I guarantee it. And you're going to have a giant, great, strong release. I'm C4, and I'm out.